skills in life where we could produce better, be better. Whether you have received the promise of Isaac or even have an Ishmael, whether you are there or not, there is a laugh that happens when God confirms you're gonna get your promise. It's over. Your suffering is almost over. This time next year, you're gonna get up out of this lame spot right now, and this time next year, we're going to see the production of your fruit. If you believe it, stand up. This time next year, I'm going to produce the fruit God promised me. This time next year, I'm going to have what thus saith the Lord. This time next year, I will not be...
You've been listening to God's Spoken Word with Prophet Johnson Lee Simpson Jr. and Sister Luella Simpson, Trailblazers for Jesus. You can correspond with them at P.O. Box 8321, Alexandria, Louisiana 71301, or phone them at 919-394-8262. Be sure to join us next time for God's Spoken Word.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
Just keep me near the cross. Oh, Dad, the press just found mountain. Oh, the cross in the cross, baby, my glory. While you're standing, turn to, and I know what I gave you on the piece of paper, but I want to back up. I want us to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And instead of just reading verses 4 through 7, I want to read verses 1 all the way through 7. I want to read it from the King James Version. This is what it says. It says, and you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Oh boy, I like that, because that means that I can't talk about you and you can't talk about me. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his grace love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together, praise God, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. Just allow me for a little while to talk this morning on this thought. God's work of mercy. Turn to your neighbor and said, neighbor, oh neighbor, God work of mercy. And because, don't stop, and because of his work, I am what I am this day. Praise God. See, the most astonishing interruption in human history is the word but that that is found in our text today. You see, man is dead in his trespasses and sin, but God is rich in mercy. You see, God has intervened in the destiny of man. Praise God. He has interrupted the doom of death and judgment. God has had mercy upon us. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm glad for God's mercy. You see, by his mercy, God has done four great things. I won't share all of them today. I'm going to talk about two of them today. That's why I don't want to keep you long. Praise God. Look what he's done just in that short pericope that I just read. Look what he's done for us. First of all, God has quickened us with Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, God, quicken you with Christ. Not only that, God has raised us up with Christ. Not only has he done that, God has made us sit in heavenly places, praise God, together in Christ. And finally, God has one great purpose, and that is to show us the riches of his grace in the age to come. In other words, God wants to show you off. The reason why I wanted to hold up reading the new Living Translation, I'm going to read the New Living Translation of verse 7. Praise God. See, God wants to show you off. God wants to brag on you. Amen. Because what you have done. Amen. Boy, somebody should have given me a hand clap right there. That ought to be a hand clap all over this church today. Especially to you all who are here today. You know why? Because the church ought to be full. When you think about what the Lord has done for us. Praise God. Look what the New Living Translation, that same verse 7. Look at what it says. Y'all got this. Y'all got to excuse me. I told you I have to call it, must be getting old. I don't know what it is. Amen. I'm going to find that out sooner or later. Look what it says. It says, so God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us as shown in all he has done for us who are what? United with Christ Jesus. Sounds to me like he wants to show us off. Sounds to me like he wants to put us on display. Praise God. So we see that God's work of mercy. And I want to just deal with two of them today. Praise God. Because we see that the very first thing that this thing says that he did for us is that God has quickened us, amen, with Christ Jesus. He's quickened us. That word quicken means to make alive. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, God has made you alive. He has quickened us. Praise God. And there are four questions I want us to look at. Amen. No, three significant points with regards to being made alive in Christ Jesus. Three questions. The very first question is this. I'm not going to be long. The very first question is, why has God quickened us? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, why has God quickened you? Oh, y'all going to help me preach today. Praise God. If you're sitting by yourself, get with somebody that you know. Amen. And so y'all can talk with each other. Praise God. Why has God quickened us? You know why he quickened us? Because it is his very nature. Turn to him and say, he quickened me because it's his nature. You see, God does not have a nature like most people view his nature. People look at God as though he's somewhere distant. Somebody look at God as though he's someone who is disinterested in what we are doing. Some look at God as God is unconcerned about what is going on in our lives. Some look at God as though he's one that's sitting somewhere who is just vengeful, waiting for you to do something wrong so he can stamp your head. Some has looked at God as one who is fearful. But my God, my people, don't you realize that the God that we serve, he is full of mercy. I'm talking about mercy. He has the feelings of pity. He has compassion. He has affection. And he has kindness towards us. Praise God. There are two things that are essential in order for us to have God's mercy. Praise God. And look at those two things. I think we brought them out in Sunday school this morning. First of all, seeing a need and being able to meet that need. And guess what? God sees our need. And when he saw our need, he didn't just sit on it. Praise God. He acted. He did something. Praise God. You see, therefore he acts. He has mercy upon us. God withholds his what? He withholds his judgment. He withholds his condemnation of us. Praise God, when he looked at us and saw what our need was. Praise God. So he had mercy. He quickened us together with Christ. Amen. But not only do we see, praise God, the fact that why has God quickened us, praise God, but you want to know something else about God? God is full of mercy. Not only he is full of mercy, but God is full of love. Amen. I'm talking about that agape love, that selfless and sacrificial love. I'm talking about a love of mind, a love of reason, a love of the will as well as of the heart and affection. Look what type of love it is. It is a love that goes so far that it loves a person even if he does not deserve to be loved. Praise God. It loves a person who is utterly what they call unworthy of being loved. I'm talking about love that is so compelled to sacrifice itself for its enemies. If I was to take an inventory here today and ask everybody here, is there somebody in here right now that you believe that don't feel that is not worthy of love? Anybody got anybody in their mind? Oh, I got a whole bunch of folks in my mind. Somebody asked me, said, who in the world you think that shouldn't be, that don't need to be loved? Yeah. And I would say there's a guy that's sitting in prison out there in California somewhere. Who's the guy that killed Sharon Tate and all of them? What was his name? What was his name? Charles Manson. Somebody look at somebody like Charles Manson. Somebody look at somebody like David Koresh. Somebody look at and say that that's a person that does not love, that deserve to be loved. But don't you know that God even loved them? Didn't love what they did. Didn't love how they think. But praise God, the love that he has, that love goes that deep, even to some who people think that is not deserving or not worthy to be loved. John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Paul picked that thing up in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, and says this. He said, for when we were yet without strength, What you mean by strength? When we were yet, praise God, without salvation, praise God, in due time, Christ did what? He died for the ungodly. Amen. At one time, you and I was just as ungodly as the other person. That's why I had to read verses 1 all the way through 3 to let us know that there was a time when we walked, praise God, just like this world walked, which means that we have no reason, because we are now saved, to look down our nose at nobody. It's only because of but God. Praise God. Romans 5:8 said that God commended his love towards us. In other words, in that while we were yet sinners, he allowed his son to die for us. Second question that we ask when we talk about this quickening us together, it says, when did God quicken and make us alive in him? Amen. The answer is very, very simple. It says that when we were what? Still dead. Say he quickened us together when we were still dead in our sins and in our trespasses. Didn't give you or me or nobody a chance to go and try to clean ourselves up. When we were yet dead, he quickened us together. Praise God. Amen. You see, before our conversion, man lived a life of death. Amen. We were dead. Somebody may ask the question, how can a man be living and yet be dead? The answer to this question is that we must first understand what the meaning of death is. Praise God. You see, death simply means that a person is separated, amen, either separated from his body or from God or from both. Amen. Amen. You see, death is the separation of a person from the purpose or the use for which he was intended. Now, can I tell you what we were intended to do? Amen. As born again believers, as creators, as creatures of our master, we were created to know, we were created to fellowship, we were created to worship, and we were created to serve God. But man does not do it. Praise God. If he worships at all, let me tell you what he does. He worships his own idea, a concept, praise God, of God. I'm talking about creating a God to suit his own notions. I'm talking about a God that would allow him to go ahead and live, praise God, as he or she wishes. That's folks' concept of God. I'm not that bad. I'm not as bad. But no, God created us to worship him. He created us so that we could praise him. He created us so that we can serve him. And when we don't do those things, my brothers and my sisters, amen, I got to remind us that we are separated from him, that we are dead in our trespasses. And our sins. Third question, when we talk about him quickening us, how did he quicken us? By making us alive with Christ. This is my second point. You see, Christ is alive. He is in heaven right now, face to face with God right now. Amen. And if you're a born-again believer, let me see the hands of all the born-again believers in here. You're born-again believer. He is in heaven right now, face-to-face with God, interceding on your behalf and on my behalf. Amen. I believe one of the young kids, when they were doing that review this morning, said that God, I'm going to try to paraphrase what she said because I grabbed it as she was putting it out. She says that God forgive the preacher of his sins, even the sins that he've committed, and even the sins that he may commit later on today. Which one of them little girls got up and said that? It was one of them. Praise God. Amen. Back there. So what am I trying to say? I am just as vulnerable to sin, but thank be to God that God did something for me. Praise God. He quickened me together with Christ. Amen. And he did it, praise God, because he was making me alive in Christ. Amen. Let me see, can I clarify that and then get, because somebody would ask the question, how did he do this? How did he make us alive in Christ Jesus? Amen. You see, the work of God's mercy is to raise us up with Christ. I want you to note two critical factors, because one, Scripture plainly declares that God has raised up believers together in Christ. How is this possible when Christ was crucified and raised, praise God, over some 2,000 years ago? Amen. What does the Scripture mean? It means this. It means that God raised Jesus Christ for three reasons. And if you don't get anything else out of what I say this morning, I want you to try to put your mind on these three reasons. First of all, Jesus lived a sinless and perfect life. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, Jesus lived a sinless and perfect life. You see, God loved man and wanted to save man, but God had a problem. Let me tell you what the problem was. The problem was this, that man had already sinned. Amen. And righteousness and perfection had already been lost. Only perfection can live in the presence of God. How many of y'all agree with that? God, the only perfection. That's why God had to turn his back on his son when he was on the cross. Praise God. And Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He had to forsake him because he could not stand to see sin on his son. So only perfection can live in the presence of God. However, there was one hope. Look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, that was hope for man. Praise God. You see, if man could live, I shouldn't say if man, if a man could live a perfect and ideal life, that man could secure the perfect ideal righteousness. Amen. Somebody know where I'm going already. Praise God. And then the ideal man could stand for and cover all men who trust him. Amen. My brothers and my sisters, this is what Jesus, in fact, did for us. He came to earth as a man, and he lived a perfect and sinless life. He never broke a law, nor went against God's will, not even once. Praise God. He secured a perfect righteousness for us. In other words, he was the